Well, Father God, you are truly here this night, ministering to your people, opening up our ears so we can hear what thus saith the Lord, ministering salvation to us, Father, taking us to a new level in your kingdom. And Father God, we all give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you say, all that you do, and all you're going to do. And we know, God, without a shadow of a doubt, that you have already won. And we just have to walk it out. We just praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. We really do praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We give you all honor and all glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm just hearing God say, that old serpent, he's a sly one, but he can't outwit my servants. Amen. All right, so I just might as well go ahead and say it. Tonight we're going to talk about angels. This is a very important ingredient that we are not using in this end time hour. This is why we are not seeing the glory drop the way God wants to do it. It's about fasting. That's why the glory's not dropping. And that's why your angels aren't working. All right? Tell my people they have to let their Ishmaels go before restoration can come to the body of Christ. Your Ishmaels are the things you try to do in your own strength, like Sarah and Abraham. Miles Monroe stated, older leaders are passing the baton. He had a dream where a runner was lying in the casket holding the baton, and people had to pry the baton out of his hands so they could continue the race. Many people are not using their greater gifts and callings, so their assignments are being removed and given to others. I'll say that again. Many people are not using their greater gifts and callings, so their assignments are being removed and given to others. He further stated, I realize Romans 11:29 says the gifts of God are irrevocable. And 29 says God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. But the anointing and assignments can be shifted to others. I remember one time I was in a prayer meeting when I first got saved, and they were messed up. But the healings were performed in their meetings, and all, you know, they spoke in tongues, they prophesied. And I said, God, I know these people are in sin. How come your gifts are working? And he led me to this scripture. Once he gives you a gift, he never takes it back. You can use it when you're out there in sin, but it won't do you any good. You'll still take you to hell. King Saul and David are one of the many examples of this shift. Remember, he called David to be, I mean, he made King Saul king, and then he put David in his place. All right, at this given time, as a result of this shift in heaven, a large number of people and leaders will be shifting positions and changing jobs. Like the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25:1-13, God is promoting those with oil in their lamps who are ready for this next move of God. Some people need to get out of connections to the past. These are all things God has already been telling us. This is a major transitional time, but be confident that you will not only make it through, but you also come out on the other side in better shape. God has given us everything you need. I'm sorry, God has given you everything you need to get through this time in your life. The season has shifted for all of us. All of us are going through. We've been going through, but we're just about through. God said some of us were already through. This season has shifted for everybody, just not one or two people. Do not expect things to go the way they used to. But when you do get attacked, have faith to expect and ask for the opposite in any bad situation. God told us that the things we're going to walk into we've never seen before. But he also said if we walk close to him, he would walk through these things with us. He would give us revelation, knowledge that other people haven't had. It is time for the greater works, and we need to be activating the angels. John 1:48, Nathanael said to Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And the Son of Man is Jesus. They were going to actually be able to see the angels when they came down to assist Jesus. Jesus makes the most interesting statement to Nathanael, saying that he would see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I saw the ladder that the word talks about. I saw the angels ascending and descending. I saw them in my home first, and I saw them in here. The angels are ascending and descending. They are coming down here, and they are helping us with our battles. And then they do go back to heaven, and they get other assignments, and they come back down again. And we are not using the angels, and we'll find out why here in a minute. What an amazing statement that Jesus said there. Nathanael had just been awestruck when Jesus revealed that he had seen him under the fig trees supernaturally. It was enough to convince him that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. A door of faith was opened in Nathanael's spirit, Jesus telling them that he would now be an eyewitness to the angelic activity of heaven. It always amazed me whenever they went to the stone and it was rolled away and the angels were there and they were talking to the angels and they didn't even know that they were even talking to angels. And you know, God's word says, be careful, you could entertain angels unaware. And I'm just wondering how many of us have passed somebody up and it was an angel that we should have been helping. You don't want to help people, but it could be an angel unawares, and you're being tested. As it seems, Nathanael was now awakened to a new dimension in his walk with God, and God's wakening us up tonight to this new dimension. Angelic activity around Jesus. It is significant to note that angelic activity was normal for Jesus. Normal is sitting down eating a piece of bread. He knew it was needed. He expected it. There was no questions about it. So, are we like Jesus? Do we think it's normal? Are we expecting that the angels are just going to show up because we have a need? We do need the angels working with us right now more than ever. All right? The level of glory Jesus walked in to have this heavenly activity in his life was powerful. Do you hear what I just said? The level of glory Jesus walked in to have this heavenly activity in his life was powerful. God wants each one of us to walk in the same level of glory that Jesus walked in. Are you listening? Quit your reading. Are you listening? Are you comprehending what I just said? We need to walk in the glory that Jesus walked in so we can do the greater works. Did Jesus have these transactions in his life simply because he was the Son of God? Or was it because he was God in the flesh, living as a man dependent upon the resources of heaven? It's the second one. He was man in the flesh. He walked the earth in the flesh. Do you understand that Jesus had two wills? He didn't have to go to the cross. He could have been disobedient. But his calling, it's cold in here. His calling was to, it's cold in here. But his calling was to go to the cross. But in the garden, he proved he didn't want to do that. He had a permissive will and he had a heavenly will. Jesus knew the power of sacrifice. Let's look at John 12:23. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Jesus lived a life of sacrifice and devotion that opened the windows of heaven, releasing angels to minister with him on earth. Sacrifice and devotion. What purpose would there be for angels to ascend and descend upon Jesus? They were needed to minister alongside with Jesus as he manifested heaven on earth. John Ramirez tells us the angels are there. When he would try to hurt somebody, there were the angels protecting them, and he couldn't hurt me. He could see them. The angels are real. They are here to work with us. I don't know about you, but I activate my angel every day when I get up. A lot of you don't, but you should activate your angel. Before Jesus began his earthly ministry, we see him being led by the Spirit to the wilderness in fasting and prayer for 40 days. In Matthew 4:1-2, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. So the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. At the end of his temptation in the wilderness, the angels appeared to strengthen him. Matthew 4:11 said, then the devil left him, Jesus, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. After this, he was launched into the power of the Spirit with a continual manifestation of heaven on earth. Now, Luke 4 says, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power. See what Satan did. He left him. He departed from until an opportune time. When was his next time to do anything to Jesus? At the cross. All those years he walked the earth, they couldn't touch him. But his opportune time was at the cross. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He just didn't return to Galilee. He returned how? In the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. The angels of God were bringing answers from heaven to earth because of his personal sacrifice. You have not paid the price that you need to pay to have the angels come and dwell with you and bring you the answers that you need from heaven. At one point, his disciples tried to cast out a demon but could not. Jesus told them that this particular kind could only come out through fasting and prayer. You find that in Mark 9:14, where we're going to read it. This statement implicitly indicates that Jesus had to also continue in this lifestyle of fasting and prayer to see people set free. Now, Mark 9:14, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who had a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. It foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to Jesus, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. When the spirit saw Jesus, what does it say he did? Immediately the spirit convulsed. All he did was saw him. Jesus didn't say anything. And he fell on the ground and allowed foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Did you see all these things that this spirit did? And God called it a deaf and dumb spirit. So remember that whenever you're doing deliverance. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." I remember one time when I cast a spirit out of my grandson, Jimmy. He was standing by the refrigerator. When I did, he fell down to the ground. They said, "You killed him." I didn't. The spirit just came out of him. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose, this young boy, this man. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Now, look at this. We must not forget that Jesus' disciples did not fast while walking with Jesus on the earth. Therefore, they could not do the mightier works. In Mark 2:18 through 20, said the followers of John and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came to Jesus and said, "John's followers fast, and the followers of the Pharisees fast, but your followers don't fast. Why?" Jesus answered, "At a wedding, the friends of the bridegroom are not sad while he is with them. They cannot fast while the bridegroom is still there. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast." See, so the disciples couldn't cast the devil out because they were not fasting and praying and did not have the anointing it took to do that. If I was in the deliverance ministry, I would live a fasted life. You will find out you will have more, you know, you'll get more people delivered. Now, I just want to stop and I want to explain my life. When I first started, you got born again, God called me to fast. I didn't know what that was. So I looked it up and I did it. And I fasted 40 days. And then, of course, I got off the fast. Great signs and wonders were going on around about me. And then God would say, "I want you to fast." And one time I fasted 40 days, quit one day, and fasted 40 days again. But I was always fasting. Always fasting. And I thought about this day and said, how dumb can you get and still breathe? The fasting what was bringing the miracles. So you have to give up something to receive the power from God. And as you fast and pray, fast and pray, fast and pray. God's been calling me for a while to fast, but I said, "God, I can't stay on a fast." And God said, "You will. You will." So God called me on a fast. I said, "God, you be with me on this fast." Because I knew I'd been failing before. I'm having no problem. Because this is the time that God wants me to be fasting. So the anointing comes back as strong as it was before. Or stronger. Oh, I want to see my kids free. How free do you want to see them? I look at your bodies, and your bodies tell me you don't want them as free as you think you do. Because you would be fasting and praying. Oh, I want to be anointed child of God. I want to do signs, wonders, and miracles. Are you fasting? This is what this is all about tonight. If you get to live a fasted life, you will see your angels. I always saw angels when I fasted all the time, and it was 40 years when God was moving miracle after miracle, night after night, constantly. Then I went through a spell where I didn't see all that because I wasn't fasting, living a fasted life. If you're going to be anointed in this hour, you're going to have to start fasting. That's one of the hardest things that people can do is fast. Well, I'm sick. I am too. And I'm going to tell you I fasted 7 days and I got deathly ill. And God said, eat something quickly. Something small, eat it quickly right now. So I did. And I was all right. And then I fasted 7 more days and I really thought I was dying. And God said, you have to eat something right now. Eat it, just something small, but eat it quickly right now. And I did. And I've been fine. God will be with you when you're fasting. Now, please, if you are on medication, I didn't tell you to get off your medication. I didn't tell you to quit going to see a doctor. I'm just telling you what God does to me. And each person has to walk out their own fasting, but I know people say, oh, well, one time, you know, I never drank anything or anything. But, you know, on the Esther fast, she wouldn't let them drink or eat. But my mother said, you'll die if you don't drink something. I said, don't have to drink anything, Mother. But she said, yes, you do. But I didn't. But she took me to the hospital, and they was going to commit me because I fasted. I was in my 40s or 50s or something. All right, ministering angels alongside us. Just as the Holy Spirit is God inside of us and central to seeing God's kingdom advance, the angels of God play the role of ministering alongside those who inherit salvation. Remember I told you God said to me when I was first started, whatever you put your hand to do, I'll do. And who was doing it? The angels, the Holy Spirit were doing it. I was just a vessel that was fasting and praying and being in God's total obedience. All right, one night we had 5 people sitting back there in the back row. We was packed out. And I said, you 5, get up here. You know how I do that. That's the Holy Spirit does it. I said, stand right there. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And they all stood right there. And I said, put up your hands. And they all fell down. Nobody caught them. Nobody did nothing. They never come back because they said I was crazy. But, you know, and they didn't get hurt. They didn't get hurt because it was God. And God would continually, constantly do stuff like that in his services. I can't do that on my own. You know, just, all right, I want to explain something to you. Some of you guys, I smacked you in the stomach this last service and shook you and this, that, and the other. I'm obedient to God's voice now because years ago when I was still in my home, my praise and worship leader was in line for prayer. And I went and I prayed with her and God said, shake her as hard as you can shake her. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I never heard of that. And so I didn't do that. And after the service, she says, Pastor, why didn't you shake me? If you would have shaken me when God told you to, I'd be free. Now I'm going to stay bound. She's still bound today. 40 years later, all because I was concerned about what somebody would say because I shook somebody. Robert Laird had 3 older ladies standing in front of him one time, and God said, shake them as hard as you can shake them. He said, I'm not going to shake them old ladies. And God said, shake them. And he shook them so hard. You know, that's the time they had their hair up in buns and had little bobby pins in. He said the bobby pins went flying everywhere and their hair came falling down. And they started speaking in tongues and carrying on and fell out in the spirit. But if he wouldn't have shaken them like God told him, it wouldn't have happened. All right, so you all had a friend here that night. You know, I hit a couple of you. And when I went to her, God said, now we have to be gentle with her. And God was real gentle with her, didn't hit her, didn't do that, just talked real sweetly to her. God knows what he's doing. He just knows what he's doing. And, you know, and if you're not walking in the Spirit, if you aren't completely Spirit-filled, don't try stuff like that. Remember one time, Brother Larry, he was sitting at the edge of the chair there the first couple of times he'd been in the church, and I was walking by him, and I slapped him in the face, and I said, "Straighten up!" And somebody said, "Boy, you hit him really hard." I said, "Did I really?" You know, I didn't know God was going to take my hand and hit him. And so I asked the next day, "Did I really hit you really hard?" He said, "Yeah, I had your handprint in my face." But, you know, that's what God did. I didn't do that. But if you want to walk in that kind of power and let God use you, then you're going to have to fast. You're going to have to fast and pray. Where am I at here? Did I read Hebrews 1:14? Are not the angels all ministering spirits or servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? Are we conscious of the Spirit within us? You know, are you conscious of the Holy Spirit being in you? Are we aware of the angels of God ministering alongside of us? I know when I used to minister, I'd bump into the angel. You know, they're always there. And you know, when I used to walk around all the time, and people would just get healed because I walked around past them. I'm telling you, fasting and prayer is where this comes from. And they would just be healed. And I know it's because the angel touched them. You know? This is very serious. So if you guys, God's getting ready to drop the glory, how much of the glory can you carry? It's going to take fasting and praying. How does fasting and prayer play a role? These two devotional elements in our lives are lethal to the enemy, explosive, and essential to the awakening of our spiritual senses to the activating of angels. I remember when I was very first born again, I was in my prayer room, and I was praying, and God said, "Look up." And I looked up, and there was the biggest angel. I didn't know what it was. I said, "What is that?" And he had on the Roman garb, you know, and God said, "That's your angel. He will always be with you." So I know the angel's there. I know he's always been with me. And I bet I know it. The anointing comes through fasting and prayer. You won't waste away to nothing. I'm only 90 pounds. I was 110 one time when I went on an 80-day fast. I was a little bit thin when I was through. But the anointing was so strong. I just didn't go on it on my own. God called me on it. And then one day he spoke and said, "Daughter, you need to stay on a fasted life." And so I knew that that was something I had to do then. All right. Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. "I ate no pleasant food, nor meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." So he evidently didn't eat anything. Didn't even drink the wine they drank in those days. Daniel 10, 12 through 13. "Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel.'" For from the angel speaking to Daniel. "For from the first day," you know, the very first day up here where that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God. By humbling himself, he was fasting and praying. "Before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." If you get this all in line and do it the right way, the angels are going to come and minister to you. We need the angels right now, this night. We don't need to wait another year, another week. Well, give me a week to hog everything up that I want to eat, and then I'll go into fast. No, you won't. You'll keep right on hogging it up. I've done that. I didn't hog it up. Well, just give me one more day. We'll have steaks, and then I'll do it. You know, then the next day, well, we're going to have something else, then I'll do it. And you never do it. You have to do it. All right, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. So the angel told Daniel that the demonic angel withstood him 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So it took 21 days for Daniel's prayer to be answered. So you all want them answered overnight. It doesn't happen that way. We have to stay in faith. We have to stay in love. We have to just keep trusting God and believe God. God's word is awakened within us through this radical expression of fasting. Also, the angels of God are activated by the word of God spoken in faith. In Psalm 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." You are the voice. The Bible is the word. You are the voice. The Bible is the word. Now more than ever, we need to be awakened with eyes of faith, not only to the Spirit within us, but to the angels of God who would find a place of activity in our midst. John 14:12 says, "I can assure you that whoever believes in me will do the same things that I have done, and they will do even greater things than I have done, because I am going to the Father." You see that? Fasting and prayer will take us into the greater works that Jesus speaks about. But without fasting and prayer, you're not going there. You're just not. Like when I was laying in the bed last night, God said, "Ask the people just how badly do they want something." I don't want to see a bunch of silly girls fasting for a husband. Good grief! Let's get this love walk down first. Jesus lived a lifestyle of fasting and did great works. It's time to activate your angels through fasting and prayer. Every time I ever went on, you know, I was evangelized for a couple of years, and every time I went on road, I fasted the whole time I was on the road. Of course, the pastors want to take you out to eat, you know, and they want to wine and dine you, and they would. My husband would thought that was wonderful, but I would sit there and wouldn't eat and wouldn't drink or nothing, and the pastors just really criticized me because of that. But miracles happened in their services. And they didn't have the Spirit moving in their churches because they weren't fasting. But there's very few people who are willing to pay the price of fasting to see the miracles of God. But in right now, in this dispensation, you're going to have to fast if you want to see the mighty move of God in your life. A lot of us could lose a few extra pounds. But we don't go into it because we want to lose weight. We go into it to be able to hear God's voice more clear. We go into it to have angelic activity around about us to minister to the people that we're praying for. God kept me awake most night praying and to cover somebody who was out of the house. And he said one time, he said, "Pray quickly, pray fast. Keep him covered." You know, and if I wasn't fasting and praying, I'd have been in that bed just zonked out, not hearing God's voice. That's why we miss so many opportunities of moving in the Spirit, is because we're too weighted down with food that makes us lethargic. And we can't even stay awake. What did Jesus say to the disciples? "Can't you even pray with me for 1 hour?" But you know, everybody, that scripture where they... disciples couldn't cast that demon out. A lot of people criticized them, and they really didn't have the power to do it. Other people did not have the power that Jesus had until he went away and left the Holy Spirit with us. From what I read, he was the only one who had the Holy Spirit walking the earth. But after he went away, then the Holy Spirit fell upon his people. So to begin, what the first thing you have to do is be walking in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fall on you. Then the next thing you need to do is you need to get yourself fasting and praying. Now, we already went through the Holy Spirit falling on us. Is he still there? Or did you do something to make him mad and he walked away from you? Because he's a gentleman and he won't stay where he's not wanted. Now, you have to decide for yourself whether or not you kept the Holy Spirit. You know how, why I could raise the dead? Fasting and praying. The anointing was there to do that. Why couldn't I walk on water? I don't know. Because fasting and prayer was still there. It was just me. I just had a fear I couldn't do it. I'm telling you, when you fast and you pray, all of heaven watches over you. God's right there beside you to minister with you. And well, the angels are ministering with you, but he's right there beside you to listen to you and send you what you have need of.